went hard for a legal definition, there wasn't quite one definition that any group agreed on, but the children that she's concerned with and work with are the children that both cannot communicate verbally and cannot ambulate independently. So these are children that are very dependent upon others for basic things like being fed, for moving from place to place, for toileting. Most but not all of the children that she works with and are concerned with are severely to moderately mentally retarded. And so her first question, which was, what is the quality of life of these children? Because she wanted to be able to measure that. And no one, it's a very difficult thing to measure the quality of life of someone who really has no good way of communicating with you. And some of these children, their affect is not such that you can necessarily tell by looking or observing if they're happy or not. Some you can. So then the next question she wanted to know is, well, what about the families? What is the family quality of life? And does that differ for families who choose to raise their children in their home versus families who choose to place their children in an institution because they feel the burden of caring for a child is simply too much for the family, for them? And current policy pushes parents very hard, pushes family integration, pushes having the children raised in the home. And she realized there was no evidence base for this. There's not much research that indicates that severely and profoundly disabled children do any better in the home than they do in a good institution. And she really simply wanted to ask the question. But then we looked further and she realized, well, there's really no good measure of family quality of life that's been validated with this population. Now, the Beach Group, Beach Center, had developed a family quality of life scale for children with, for families with children who are disabled. But that covered a wide variety of families, and that scale was, the reliability and validity of that scale had been assessed with families whose children were much less severely disabled for the most part than the children she was concerned with. These were children who could ambulate, who could communicate, some but not all. And she really wanted to know, can we use this scale to measure the qualities of family quality of life of families with children who are severely and profoundly disabled? And so, with the permission, and these are the committee, I'm Stacey Plichta, Dr. Claire Hasman, Dr. George Mahafer, and Dr. Sharon Maver-Lampman. She used a few open-ended statements to try to ascertain were there things that the families were asked, you know, were there things that we should have asked you that we didn't ask? And she tried to, the few other scales that are out there, she tried to use as gold standards the Family Apgar score and the Family Resource Sale to see, does this scale test well against them? And the Beach Center did something similar. So her study sample was local public school districts. And in out of the five local school districts, three agreed to participate, and she looked at all children born between March 2nd, 1988 and March 2nd, 2000, whose special education disability category was severe disability. In the local residential facility, she invited all age-eligible children and excluded those who attended the local public school because those children were getting packets sent home to their families, and she didn't want to double count. In phase one, the response rate was about 46% for families with children residing in the home. And outside the home, the response rate was a little higher, 52%. So she initially sent a postcard out asking for if the families were interested in participating to please return the postcard, offered a small incentive. Just about everybody who returned the postcard completed the study, but half returned it. And then for phase two, she, with the folks who responded to the first phase, she did test-retest reliability. So if the families were administered the same survey about a month later, were the answers similar? And again, she had similar response rates for in the family and outside the family. And the respondents, as you'd expect, you know, these were basically the child's primary caregiver. The majority are female. Ethnically, for our area, slightly disproportionately African-American, but that's about what the ethnic breakdown is in our larger area. 44% African-American, 51% black, other 3%. Age ranged from 21 to 66 years. Most of the respondents were 37 years. About 61% were married, and 38.9% were not married. The majority of the not marrieds were divorced. For the most part, the group had at least a high school education, and a little over a quarter of the respondents had a college education. About 36% were not employed, and the rest were employed either part-time or full-time. And the children, you know, slightly more boys than girls, but 55% male, 44% female. The great majority of the children were born with their disability. About 10% of them became disabled at some point. I think one was from a car accident. But most of these were families who had a disabled child born into the family. On average, the age of the child was 13 years. About 40% were 11 or under, and 59% were 12 to 21. We use the cutoff of 21 because the children can stay in the public schools till 21, which provides extra support to the family. Basically, we found out there was not a floor effect. Each of the dimensions are scored on a scale of 1 to 5. They're Likert scale items, and they're summed up and averaged for the family quality of life. So for the family satisfaction with disability-related support, emotional well-being, their family interaction, parenting, and physical material well-being, they're all scoring somewhere close to 4 for both the child residing in the home and outside the home. So the scale, and there was a range of responses for all of them from low to high. So basically, the scale, the families had roughly the same level of satisfaction, if you will, than other families do, spread out. So as far as being, can you ask these sorts of questions and get a variety of answers, yes. The scale also was had internal consistency. Each of the items, the weakest of these was the physical and material well-being, and that particular subscale didn't perform that well in the Beach Center study trials with their population. It was the weakest of the scales, and it didn't perform that well here either, as you'll see. For test-retest reliability, for overall, it, in general, the questionnaire does better for families where children reside in the home, which makes sense because a lot of the questions have to do with about the kids in the home. respondents, how well does the survey measure the degree to which its family and your family enjoys your life together, has its needs met, and is able to do the things it likes and wants to do. And, you know, for the most part, the survey scored a 4 out of 5 on average. So most of the respondents, nobody said not at all. Only one person rated it less than not at all. A few people rated it as moderately. But looks at on average, it scored a 4 out of 5 for in the home and in a above. And when we asked about, please tell us important things that we should have asked that we didn't, most folks said that all issues were relevant. All issues were relevant. A few other things about dental care, spending time together, feeling safe. A few other items came up. And in terms of criterion validity, the family interaction scale did score well, did correlate with the APGAR, but the physical well-being scale did not correlate with the criterion, family resource scale. Again, we think that's the problematic subscale. So, in conclusion, pretty much the Beach Center Family Quality of Life Scale appears to be a valid and reliable scale for identifying the needs of individual families with children who have severe developmental disabilities, although, again, the physical material well-being subscale should be interpreted with caution. It also looks to be a reliable and valid scale for use by service agencies in the evaluation of programs that serve families with children who have severe developmental disabilities. For the future, the recommendation is to really try to modify those scale items, particularly this one subscale, to better measure what is it that families need over time, what physical material resources are they not satisfied with. And we suggest really going back to the drawing board, starting with the focus groups, reviewing the problematic items, revising the scale, and again, trying to get